Hello and welcome to the Honest Property Investment Podcast. My name is Natasha Collins and I'm the host of this podcast. I'm also the founder of NC Real Estate, which is my firm of surveyors, which specializes in building commercial property portfolios for landlords and property investors. If you want to find out more about that, head on over to ncrealestate.co.uk. This week, I have two parts of this podcast. The first, I persuaded my husband, Chris Cairns, to come on the podcast and share with us what happened in Charleston, what we decided to do with the Charleston property. And then I'm going to go into my step-by-step strategy for finding commercial property that you can get started with right now. If you're ready, let's jump in. Okay, today we've got a special guest for about 5 minutes who agreed to come on the podcast and talk with me about what we decided to do with our Charleston property. Everybody, Chris Cairns.
Thanks for having me.
It's very rare that you ever agree to come on any sort of podcast, social media or anything like that. So thanks for coming on this one.
You're welcome. I don't know that I agreed, but I'm here. So let's kick it off.
Okay. So last week on the podcast, I was discussing what we were thinking of doing with Charleston and why we'd gone to Charleston. I mean, it was nice to go for 2 weeks on holiday, wasn't it? It took, what, 3 days to get there, 3 days back. And we were wondering whether we should sell it, whether we should re-let it, and what we should really do with it. And what's ended up happening is we've come back, we don't have any managing agents, we've decided to go in a different direction, right?
Yeah, I think when we first bought it, we knew we were going to need help managing it because we had a little arrival coming. We were moving halfway across the States, which is a long way. In Austin, we weren't going to be there on the ground. So we wanted to make it as easy as possible. I think we found challenges in the fact that it then became non-flexible, mm-hmm. almost as though we were leasing it out to a management company who were going to run the house for us, which can be good. But we also wanted to use the property, which became difficult because they obviously were getting paid on bookings. So if we were going to use it, they were going to lose out. There were issues around how it was being managed and maybe how we were being communicated with. So I think for us, it was a case of what do we actually want from the property? Do we want to use it, which is why we went, to make sure we still like the house and like the area? Do we want to sell it while the market's in a reasonable place and make a good profit on it? Or should we let it in a more flexible way where maybe we have more control to go back maybe each year or a couple of times a year as well and be a bit more flexible? So yeah, as you said, we've landed on a place where we're going to be taking on a lot more work, but hopefully been able to use it a bit more as well.
Yeah. So we went back there. We do still really like the house and really like the area, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah. We love it.
It's getting better, that area, in fact, since the last time we were there.
There's a lot of development going on, which is great. A few of the vacant buildings when we were there was during COVID. So obviously was not a great time just in general. But a few businesses have kind of moved into some of the vacant buildings, which is great. A new restaurant, new cafe, which was good for us. And yeah, it felt much busier, obviously, mm-hmm. than last time we were there. Again, we were there during COVID, so maybe that's part of the reason. But lots of young families moving into the area, so definitely a good place to be.
Yeah. And we were actually perfectly happy continuing with the managing agents when we went there. We thought if we were going to get it relet, we would just continue with them. But one of the things that we'd been pretty frustrated about was that every single time they relet that property, they'd change the locks, they'd get rid of all the barrels, they would change the locks, and then we would get invoiced for it.
Yeah, which was a frustration in two aspects. One, obviously financially, you know, we were losing out money, having to pay to get the locks changed every time was not ideal. And that actually felt very frustrating that there was no clear reason really given to us why they had to do that. And obviously there's alternative solutions, which I'm sure we'll speak about. The other one was that they effectively came the gatekeepers to our house. We didn't have a key to get into our own house, which is not really what you want, or not what we wanted when we bought the property. Yes, it was an investment, but it was an investment we wanted to use as well. So I think coming back to that flexibility point, being able to go there when we wanted to and not have to wait on a management company to cut a key, get it in a lockbox, send us the codes, and kind of have us have the freedom that if we want to be spontaneous and head out there, we know we can get in there when it's vacant.
Yeah, because even when we arrived, they gave us a key. They gave us a code to a key box, but we could only get in up until 8 p.m. that evening. Right. And then the code would run out.
Right.
Well, that's wild. And there was no one going to be there for it, or no way of us going to be able to go and find someone that we could collect keys from if by any chance we were late. So that puts on a timescale. And bearing in mind, we were traveling cross country with a child, with a dog. It meant that that final day, it was just get up and let's go.
Yeah, yeah. It just didn't feel like we were going to our house. It felt like we were very much going to someone else's rental that we were inconveniencing them by using effectively. Yeah.
So then we got there and we went through a list of all the stuff that we needed to do on the maintenance. It's pretty easy. Changing some light bulbs, like putting something on the back of a door to stop the door handle from crashing into the door. Was that it?
A lot of cleanup in the backyard. A lot of, there'd been a couple of storms over the winter, which is pretty common. So cleaning up a lot of leaves and debris, a lot of leaves. Branches, and then a bit of washing around the outside, so we had to clean up the garage inside and out. But yeah, general maintenance stuff that, again, we got quoted relatively high prices, probably more than we would really be wanting to pay, so it made sense for us to be able to do it. We had a bit of time, so we kind of just did it ourselves. Yeah,
and then what we were trying to do was understand when the property could be let out. So whilst we were there, we were saying to the managing agents, do you have tenants? What day should we leave? What days are cleaners coming in? And they just would not respond to us. Then on the final day we were there, we got some tenants looking around, which they were very apologetic about. It turned out that on the portal where they list it, actually, our management company weren't allowing anybody to come and look around the property. They had to take it sight unseen and just rely on a video walk around and photos, which is fine. But when you're spending that much on a monthly basis, if you're in the area, you'd want to come and take a look, surely. So, and bearing in mind over the last month, they've dropped the price on it twice. So it was originally listed at $4,150. It went down to 3.9, it's now at 3.8, and they hadn't let anybody in to have a look. Well, obviously that's why we're not getting anybody take it up. And then we also wanted to take back a little bit of control, right? So we put an electric lock on the outside of the property, and that was when everything kicked off.
Yeah, which is really frustrating, because the electric lock is great for us because it means we can actually see who's going in and out. We also had a couple of challenges around cleaning, where tenants were telling us it hadn't been cleaned. The management company said it had. The electric lock would allow us to actually see whether the cleaners had been in to do the property, because we don't get photos sent. And obviously it also saves us having to cut the locks every time. We can just change the code and update the code and have it on an expiring timeline for when the tenant moves out. And also remotely let the tenant in if there is an issue with the lock, which again would be great. But the management company don't allow that. Again, don't know the full reason. You're obviously far more qualified than me to speak about it. But yeah, it just felt in general that they were not overly pushing to kind of let the property. And really for them, it was more how can they let it with as little work as possible, rather than really going out there thinking, how do we get maximum value for the property for our client?
Yeah, and charging us a good sum of money as well to do it. And actually us not getting any response from them or being able to get into our own house. Now, obviously, we're not about to turn up every time there's a tenant in there. We don't want to come in and out as we want, but we just wanted a little bit more control. The managing agents came up with something that they said they get sued if they don't change the locks every time. I have been through the South Carolina landlord and tenant rules. I can't see where that is, but okay. So based upon that, they decided that they couldn't manage the property anymore because we'd changed the locks and taken it back. So we are now in the process of getting them to hand the property back over to us, aren't we?
Which is harder than it should be, for sure.
They do not.
As much as they tell us they want to let it go, they're not exactly pushing to let go of it.
No, and they're just arguing about it. They want fees. Bearing in mind they can't manage the property, they still want fees from us for cancelling, which is obscene. So this goes on, but we are going to, well, here's what's going to happen. If the tenants that came around the other day move in, then we'll let them move in. And then afterwards, we'll do it at 30-day rentals on Airbnb, and we'll take back the management because we've pretty much got all the contractors anyway that we need, right?
Yeah, minimum 30 days rental. Because one of the other challenges we had with this management company is they wouldn't take anyone for less than 3 months.
Yeah.
And anyone over 6 months, really. Right. So that obviously limits the market quite a lot. Whereas there's a, you know, the example tenants that we had looking around or potential tenants are having their house refurbished. They only need it for 2 and a bit months. So they wouldn't have fallen into the right bracket for the management company. So potentially we wouldn't have been able to host them unless we had this fight with the management company to take back ownership or management and to get these tenants in ourselves. So it gives us flexibility to get a different type of tenant into the property as well, which is great.
Yeah. So that's where we are. Yeah. Are you feeling happy about that decision?
I am. I'm just hoping that we can kind of get over this short-term challenge of taking back control and getting the tenants in, and then we can really focus on how we want to run it in the future.
And we get to go back more.
Exactly, which is nice.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks for having me on. Hope this is useful for your audience.
Let's dive in with my step-by-step strategy for finding commercial property that you can get started with right now. And the reason I'm doing this is because when you reach out to me, the biggest thing is that you say to me, Natasha, I don't know how to find deals. So let me give you something that you can do right here from this podcast whilst you're listening to me. First of all, pick your search location, and I suggest you keep it as your hometown. Let's not make it any more complicated than it needs to be, because if it's close, you can go view it. You can basically manage the whole process yourself. Then I want you to go to Rightmove Commercial and set your property search criteria, which will be your hometown and a maximum amount of money to spend. You can calculate that maximum amount of money to spend using the following calculation. So you start by looking at the amount of cash you've got available to spend right now. So say that's £40,000 or whatever. You then need to minus 70%. That will give you X. Then what you do is cash, the amount of cash you've got, times 100, divided by X equals the maximum amount you can spend on a property. Set alerts then to come into your inbox instantly, and use your email filters to send them directly to a file called deals. That means that you are keeping it separate. It's not as if it goes into your inbox and you're like, oh my God, there is so much to look at. No, separate it. Every single day, go through this inbox and phone one agent a day who has deals in your area and tell them what you're after and get them to email you deals as they become available. That is really important. Really, really important, because then you're getting onto their list and you'll start to see things first. Again, what I'm doing is I'm making sure that you are directing everything into one place that you can go through so that you can search for property deals that work for you, rather than going online, looking at the auctions, looking at Rightmove, looking at LoopNet, looking at all of that stuff, and then being like, oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed. Let me now go and read the newspaper or watch crazy videos on Facebook or YouTube or fall down other rabbit holes. No, what we're doing is we're bringing everything into one inbox that you can spend 15 minutes of your time going through and deciding what you like or what you don't like. Do this daily and deals will start to appear in your inbox that you want to buy. That is it. That is as simple as you need to make it. If you want to add additional properties that gets sent to your inbox. You could use LoopNet. You could use EID auctions. Wherever you want to set alerts, but rather than scrolling through all of these search portals, they do have tools which make it so much simpler for you. Use them. That is important because, again, it's going to stop the overwhelm. You might be saying to me, Natasha, well, agents have their little black books. Well, I've just told you to phone up one agent a day in your local area, get to know them, chat about property, and that only takes minutes of your time. And the other thing, if you want to accelerate this process, go on viewings, go and meet these agents in person. But you can batch that so that all happens in an hour, 2 hours a day. And if it is local to you and local to where you're working, you can go out and do that in your lunch break or first thing in the morning before you start meetings. It makes it accessible to you rather than getting distracted with everything else that could happen. Oh, I want to invest across the whole of the UK and I want to do X, Y, and Z. That's overwhelming, right? That really is overwhelming. I want you to bring it down to your local area and start there because that's manageable. And look, you will get loads and loads of different properties through. Start making decisions of what's interesting to you and go and view them. See what's possible. And that right there is how I would start searching for property investments and commercial deals so that they land straight in your inbox. That's it. That's all you have to do. Keep it simple, stop the overwhelm, and I promise you, you will progress really pretty quickly. All right, everybody, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Thank you so much for listening to me today. I will catch up with you again next week. Thank you so much for listening today. If you've loved this pod, make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And make sure to leave a 5-star review, as this makes me so happy and it helps to boost the show and get it out there to more property investors. Finally, if you want to email the pod, you can write to me, Natasha@ncrealestate.co.uk. I cannot wait to catch up with you again soon.